Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we've had shows about aging, and they were very helpful. And we've even talked about having a bucket list and things like that. But how about having a kick the bucket list? That's even deeper. That's more profound. And we're going to talk about how to prepare for our own mortality or the mortality of others and how we can help ourselves be more at peace living fully in each day because we have our act together. And to help us do a better job of that is the author of a wonderful book called Sunrises and Sunsets. It's a great title. And we're going to talk with the author, Holly Kelly. Holly, welcome to Energy Stew.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Sincerely, my pleasure to be your guest today.
Good. Well, this is quite an important work you're doing because I don't know how many people are unprepared, but it's common.
Yes, extremely common.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I went through that. I've had my father died suddenly when I was a teenager of a sudden heart attack, and certainly there wasn't preparation for that because he was only 50 years old and no one thought of it.
I'm sorry to hear that, yes. And things like that actually contribute to how we look at the final phase of life ourselves. It is all of those life experiences that contribute to our views on death and dying.
Right. And then I had another experience many years later when my mother called out of the blue and said, the doctor said I only have 2 weeks left to live. And
I said, well, get
on a plane and come to New York right away. And that day she was in New York, or that evening she was in New York, and only lasted really a couple of weeks. But she hadn't prepared really, and there was a lot we didn't know. And by the time we were ready to ask her, she was pretty much in a coma and, you know, couldn't really speak. She could grunt or whatever, but it wasn't really helpful. And so it was very frustrating, and it ended up becoming a big mess afterwards because there were other factors, other power plays made by other people that added to the confusion. And
that is just so typical, too, with something like that, unexpected.
Right. And so in many families, there's a lot left unsaid. I have a friend who wants his father to let him know what his plans are, and his father doesn't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know what's going to happen because his father isn't willing to communicate what plans he has about not only his dying, but also his estate and all that. And so there are a lot of families where they're kept in the dark and intentionally.
It's a global issue, actually, and an individual issue, a personal issue, a familial issue, a cultural community, and spans the globe in sharing this challenge and how to open up the conversation on what is still considered by so many a taboo topic that is dark and laden with fear. And so what you're sharing is, pretty common, and why it is also so extremely important that we change people's perspective on this incredibly important area of personal planning.
Well, years ago, death wasn't talked about at all. And then there was this woman who came along, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who actually I spent some time with. I was very happy to know her.
Wow.
And how exciting for you.
An honor.
She invented dying. it's a strange thing to say that somebody invented dying. But she used to go into hospitals and ask, who's dying here? And the hospitals would say, nobody. And only the nurses would tell her who was really dying, but the doctors wouldn't own up to it. And so that was before there was palliative care and hospices and ways to manage the the people who really there was very little hope for, if perhaps none at all. But the medical world was in charge of fixing things, and nobody thought that they could do any worse. So they just asked the medical world to keep on fixing, and people still have that mentality that no matter what the situation is, something can be fixed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're savers, and that is they're programmed often to do. And thank goodness for palliative care and hospices and iconic individuals like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross that opened up the conversation and gave us a different perspective, creating those five stages of death, emotions, and denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, and how important it is for us to recognize that. I mean, considering your situation, here you lost your father at a young age, as a teenager, just quickly, with no chance for either, of course, him, but obviously, but for you to move through those stages, and having such a quick onset with your mom, same thing, you know.
Yeah, not enough closure, because there was so little acceptance that you weren't going to, at least with my mother, that we couldn't save her, although, you know, it was obvious that we really couldn't save her, but we tried somewhat, and then by the time we realized that it was too late, she was too late to really find closure with us. But what was nice was that when she was in a coma, couldn't say anything. After a while, she couldn't really respond to anything but the words "I love you," and then she would grunt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that was really wonderful.
Oh, of course it was. And at that moment, she was certainly conveying what she felt to be the most important things that she could in those final days and hours as she faced her departure and did her life review and archive. It was important for her to make sure you knew that. So that's incredible that you had that gift with her.
Right. Yeah, I'm just so emotional talking about it, and that was 28 years ago.
Yeah.
So you know, I feel for so many people who are going through all of this, and they really need help. And your book is so important to help people find peace. And I myself have found peace with my own mortality. I had a dream where I was going to be executed, shot in the back of the head. It was like this big uprising or something, and I was on the ground, and I knew that everyone was being shot, and I was going to be shot. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm off. Goodbye world. That's fine. I'm at peace. And then the shot didn't kill me, and I'm going, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be on the other side. But I told my sons about it, and my older son said, well, that's really important that you had this experience so that you're at peace with the possibility of dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for people to, you know, find that in themselves. And in the book, you talk about, there's a part where it's, we really, if we feel like we've lived a full life, if we feel complete within ourselves, it's much easier to die.
Oh, but, yes, absolutely. And there's so many quotes in there, too. The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time, by Mark Twain. And the book is certainly a venue that allows readers to go on this journey, embark on this journey of fun and enjoyable personal planning. And along the way, I think that they discover a certain piece about this elephant in the room, if you will, called death, that somehow that's not so scary anymore. And on the other side of completing the book, they're liberated. And they have forged peace and look at life in a more tranquil manner. because, in part, they've reckoned with it, but they also have found themselves, what the goal of the book is that regardless of what happens now, they're prepared, and they put their house in order, and their wishes have been clearly conveyed. And so there is a sense of really a soul-soothing journey. It's very rewarding and enriching to handle all of these. And as you said previously, so many people think that they have, and yet there are areas for most people, I would venture to say, that are still left undone. And it's not just the legal and the technical. There's so much more. And that was what the book aimed to address, was to capture what we all need, both ourselves and what our survivors need from us.
Well, you also, you address everything in the book, because you really talk about all of the legal stuff as well as all the personal stuff of writing about ourselves, writing about our families, leaving legacies to our children and our, you know, our loved ones about what mattered to us and what we thought about our life and how we want to be remembered. To put all that down is an opportunity that most people don't even think about.
Yes, and the book really becomes a written version of each completer's legacy. And so when I began this task, I felt that certainly having a book about advance directives and wills was kind of a lackluster topic. I mean, that's been there, done that. I wanted to approach this more broad and take it from the legal and technical and expand it to the spiritual, the personal, the emotional, familial, and look at it also from the survivors and loved ones' standpoint. And that's why you're looking at such a broad spectrum. And, you know, I always say my name's on the cover of the book, but ultimately each completer, each reader is the final author of this work, because they engage with it and it becomes theirs, and they make the book their very own. Each book will be different and take on the life and the essence of the reader themselves.
Well, what I'm really happy about with your book is that you don't just draw a lot of blank pages, lined pages. You actually ask us questions and give us ideas and inspiration for what to put down. And, you know, even though we're all different, it's nice to know what questions we would like to answer in what we write.
Yes, and I think it's important that I say in the book, you will be asked questions that you may have never been asked before. And so these answers may ask you to look inside yourself and soul search as to how you feel about these things. And yet, through doing that, it's enjoyable, and it's an incredibly life-elevating experience to look back on your life and do this amazing life review. And as people are completing the book, I'm getting feedback from people around the globe, and they're saying, I just smiled, and I felt inner joy while I was doing this, and these were things that I had long forgotten that you asked me to pull out of the depths of my cognitive storage and produce, and it felt really good. And more importantly, I think that readers are, and it certainly warms my heart, recognizing that this is a way for them to continue to be present in the lives of those whom have been born after them. And so it's just a great way to ensure that all of the things that you've learned along your journey and that make your family unique are shared, while at the same time tackling the most important areas of personal planning as it relates to advanced directives and wills and conveying our legal and our financial matters and things like that.
Right. And I think it's good to also create, and you draw it in here, a family tree that we can fill in. And I think it's important to give our families and our children an idea of where we're from and not that they don't know a lot already, but just to have it down, structured and available, I think is really helpful moving forward for their children, for their grandchildren, and it's a wonderful experience of. I'm thinking right now that on Facebook I connected with my mother's family that many of them I had never known, and they were from my mother's side of the family, and my mother's father's side of the family as well, and mostly my mother's father's side of the family, and they had gotten lost. My grandfather died 40 years ago, and nobody really found these people then. But on Facebook, they all showed up. And all of a sudden, I'm connected to my grandfather's family in ways that I'm so excited, and I just feel so reconnected to my roots and some of my grandmother's family as well. So it's really amazing to have these opportunities, to build this legacy that
for sure. And what a stockpile of information that this newfound discovery of your family is, because they can bring, of course, additional family stories to the table and enlighten you as to the essence of where you came from and the journey of your family tree and legacy.
Right, I'm learning a lot about it, and and so there's so many ways that we can start living life a little bit differently when we're open to the process of completing a life and what we leave behind. I'm at an age. My parents died younger than me, and I'm in my just entering my mid-70s, and so my wife, who's a lot younger, wants me to do all the things that are in your book, and she's on my case to have everything in order, and my older son asked me actually to write an autobiography and put it all down. But I was thinking, because you have in here the you suggest to write our own obituary, and for me, I felt like, well, I've already made suggestions to my wife, who might, I'm not planning to die for another 20 years or so or more, but who might speak at my funeral, and so it's nice to think of those things. Who are the important people in my life who really I would like them to say something. But when it comes to writing our own obituary, I feel like I just want to write down the talking points and let somebody else put them in their own compassion.
And I'm sure, confident actually, that the majority of society feels the same way that you do. In the book, you do hit the talking points. The questions are asked. It's such a user-friendly template, I'm being told, to gather all of the information and just literally a Q&A session within the book and yourself. At the end, you take all of those answers and you create it in written form, and it is simplistic to do, and yet most people are like, oh, this kind of feels real. I don't know how I feel about this. And what I say when I'm doing individual or workshop consulting is that if you think about the moment of your passing, and particularly untimely, chronologically, or unexpected, quick, just as you had both parents actually depart in your life, you've experienced it yourself, what people are going through with the suffering of loss and grief and bereavement, so much to handle. This is actually the most challenging time one would ever face, probably, to attempt to be creative and to finish that task off and give it the justice that it deserves. And so I say, not only is it a gift for yourself in that you convey this as you desire it to be, but such a beautiful way that you can remove future burden from those you love and care about. And we never hear anybody say, so-and-so planned everything and I'm so disappointed. We hear them say, you know what, they planned everything, and despite the suffering and grieving that we're doing, that was really awesome, and how nice for us. They removed all of that burden.
Right.
And so I try to encourage people to move through that.
And I'm thinking really about people who have given directives, but only verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, they backfire because there was confusion. And
chaos.
Really,
yes.
Yeah. You know, and people say, well, you know, he said or she said to do this mm-hmm. or to do that, and oh no, I can't imagine that was told to you, and you know, and so there are all these confusions if things aren't put in writing.
And, very true. And the infighting between families can literally sever ties for life.
Yeah, so I've seen many families go through that.
I mean, here we are at a death, a time of coming together. And the exact opposite can happen and does happen just thousands of times every day across the world, and it becomes not a coming together, but the great divide.
Yeah, a new war.
It is. It's a war. And the very last thing the person that is passing needed was certainly a divide, but the last thing they wanted was their death to be the very thing that made the family sever ties. I mean, what a terrible thing for them. And, you know, I think people know this in their final hours. They feel it. And they know when things are peaceful and comfortable, and they also know when it's not. And so I just think it's so important that, as you said, put it in writing, because whoever you told, there's going to be others that disagree with that, and it's probably not going to go as you had hoped.
Right. And, yeah, it's amazing how many people have their own needs to be recognized and to be given things from those who pass on, and feel, you know, that, you know, they demand to have their share or maybe everything. I don't know. I mean, estates are really, that's why there are estate lawyers, and people really have to do a good job with that.
Very true, yes. And it's no longer about the loss, but it's about material things and less about the life. And so you raise a very important issue.
Right. And, well, I could tell you a lot of stories, but we don't have time for all of them.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah, exactly. there was a book my wife was very interested in called Being Mortal, and that's a lot about building up to this end of the life and what's out there in assisted living and hospice and how that has grown over the decades in to be more responsible to people and sensitive. And so that's another thing that people really need to plan for, is how they're going to be taken care of in the in-between stage when mm-hmm. they are starting to fail and they can't perform the way they're used to. So
very true, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why you never know when, you know, there are people who are really vital and full of life until they're 90, and then all of a sudden something happens and it changes the whole story, and they go quickly after that. And I remember losing a friend who was extremely healthy and went in, but she had a little heart problem, went in to have that corrected, and the hospital made a big mistake, and she ended up having a stroke that ended up killing her. And so we never know. And so we really need your book to really, everybody needs to be on top of it, because it's not like waiting for people to become 90 and start to fail.
Very true. I mean, yeah. We have the demographics vary geographically, generationally, but the U.S. Center for Disease Control estimates, you know, over 2.5 million people die every year, according to 2013 stats, and accidents and unintentional injuries being the fourth leading cause of death. We know this. We see the memorials as we drive throughout the highways, and we recognize that we do not have any guarantees. And I say in the book, this book is not for people at the end of their life. This is for any adult of any age at any stage who believes they may one day die. End of story.
Yeah.
Because if you do it when you're young, you update it. You keep it growing with you. But because you don't know, this is a beautiful gift to give to yourself and your family member to ensure that if you have an untimely passing, you have left them a very clear breadcrumb trail as to everything your life and after your life.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think people should get Sunrises and Sunsets, the name of
your
book.
Thank you.
And really take advantage of so much in it, and maybe not all at once, and you know, because there's a lot we have to think about and go deep within ourselves about and understand ourselves better. So it really is a tremendous growth opportunity.
It really is, yes, and you do grow and, you know, elevate your life experience, and in the workshops that we do in the consulting. It is an 8-week program, and, you know, most people, it's offered in four, and most people say, I need 8 weeks. I want 8 weeks to do what I refer to as mentally marinating about all these important issues. And in even 8 weeks, you're really moving through it, because each week of those weeks you have homework.
Yeah. So, Holly Kelly, the author of Sunrises and Sunsets, is there a website?
Sunrisesandsunsetsbook.com.
Okay.
And you can buy the book there, of course, subscribe, get a free gift, and all kinds of helpful information there as well.
That's great. Holly Kelly, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to share this work and to help people along the way. And thank you for the work you do.
Oh, thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.